from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You look at the greatness of a Josh Allen, which is undeniable. The fact of the matter is, he's tended to get in his own way from time to time, and particularly against the likes of a Joe Burrow or the likes of against a Patrick Mahomes. And if Patrick Mahomes is the standard, because he damn sure is, that's who we're talking about here, and he's the one that has established himself as the king that you've got to knock off of his throne. Considering the flagrant greatness of Josh Allen, the stud that he is, can make every throw, can run over you, can do everything, okay? Except for when he's going up against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. That is a problem.
Stephen A. I was saying something to Joe in the break about the overrated, underrated thing. I'll bring that up in a moment after we play this little game. You said you had a game for me, too, which was called what?
The Jordan Matthews game.
All right. I'll play the Jordan Matthews game. All right. We got time. 803-0550 to join us. So here's what we're talking about today. It's roster cutdown day. Teams will carry 53. That's the way to say it, right? Roster cutdown day. You'll be down to 53 and practice squads, and that 53 will continue to change, but instead of every team carrying 90 guys, you carry 53. I saw like 948 players are going to be released in the next 8 hours.
Yep.
So you're trimming down. We'll see what the Bills do at wide receiver. Of course, that's a position we've paid a lot of attention to. Ben DiNucci has already been released, so that's part of the answer at quarterback, maybe, unless he comes back.
Yeah.
You know, there's roster manipulation, lots of stuff still happening. So we'll keep you updated on that as we see players thank the Bills for their time. That's generally how these things get broken before 4 o'clock. That's part of it. Then, of course, trade ideas. If there are any more trades, there was a trade yesterday. Malik Willis traded to the Packers for a 7th-round pick. Taylor Heinicke could be a name here. I think that's he's a great candidate to be traded. They have Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. So go ahead and trade Taylor Heinicke. They might hang on to him because is he the best answer for any team that has a quarterback injury? If I'm Atlanta, I'm going to hold this asset until the deadline and see if I can get a 4th-round pick out of somebody if their quarterback gets hurt, because Heinicke has played a little bit.
Right.
So he's a candidate. Tim Patrick is a candidate, Broncos wide receiver.
This is not a trade idea, but for backup quarterback ideas, I forgot that this happened yesterday. Miami released Mike White. Because Skylar Thompson's been impressive to be the backup. So, I don't know. There's a name.
Right.
He was, among all the bad Jets backups in the last couple of years, he might have been one of the better ones.
Yeah. 803-0550. So that's setting the stage for today. Also, what is your takeaway from the preseason? Your number two. Number one takeaway from the preseason is always about injuries, health, how everybody is. Number two. What did you take away from this preseason? We didn't take much away on the starting offense because the starting offense didn't play much, right? They played against the Bears, and that was it. So what do you take away from the preseason on the depth, on anything you want? You can throw that our way, and we'll talk about it with you at 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I teased something I wanted to get to here. So ESPN polled over 100 NFL players. And asked a series of questions about quarterbacks. One of them was, which rookie quarterback will have the most successful career? And guys were asked, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy. For what it's worth, Drake May didn't finish top five.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, when Williams, Daniels, McCarthy, Michael Penix, and then Bo Nix.
Wow.
Drake May, not in the top five. Anyway, the other ones are... One of them is, who's the GOAT?
Okay. Were they all Brady?
Brady or Mahomes?
Well, I guess... Yeah, but most are still going to say Brady.
Okay. With 92... Well, other players got votes, too. It was 85-7. Brady.
Okay.
Mahomes in second. Rank the top three quarterbacks.
Just in general, who are the best three quarterbacks?
What are the NFL players in this poll pick?
Mahomes, Jackson, Allen is my guess.
You got one and two right.
Not Allen?
No.
Burrow?
Burrow.
Okay.
Allen fourth.
Okay.
Rodgers fifth.
Rodgers fifth.
All five in the AFC.
Uh-huh.
Players say the AFC have the five best quarterbacks.
Okay.
Top three overrated quarterbacks.
All right.
Written up here at ESPN.com. The top three vote getters have made Pro Bowls, Super Bowl, Conference Championship. That means a successful quarterback can also be considered overrated. Okay, so who are the top three most overrated quarterbacks according to NFL players to ESPN?
I'm going to say that Tua is one of them.
He is tied with the second most votes.
Okay. I'm going to
guess. By the
way,
this is very different. Like the rank the best quarterbacks, the top five guys got all the votes. And in this, there are a lot more honorable mentions, top vote getters. But
okay.
Yes,
okay.
Tua tied for second in the most overrated quarterback.
Brock Purdy is going to be on this list.
No, Purdy further down the list. He did get votes, but he's behind 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other guys.
All right, how about Trevor Lawrence?
He's on the list as an honorable mention, but also not in the top three.
Is Allen on the list?
He's number one.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. When this list get dropped?
Does Bean have to make an announcement? Does Bean have to address the issue?
Was this morning this got dropped?
Yeah, today.
Oh, great. Twitter's going to be fun today.
Yep.
Number one? Do they have the voting breakdown?
They do.
Like how much he's number one by?
Allen got 11 votes as the most overrated quarterback.
Okay. Who was second? Tua was second with
Tua,
how many?
Tua got 10.
Okay.
And the other is?
More players think Allen's overrated than Tua.
But again, that's overrated.
Overrated.
That just means more players think Tua is properly rated.
Right.
Overrated, not bad.
Allen was also rated fourth by them.
Right.
And Tua...
Not listed.
Not listed. Okay.
The other overrated guy was Hurts.
Oh, okay.
So it's Allen, Hurts, Tua.
Yep.
Fourth is Justin Herbert. Fifth is Trevor Lawrence. Six, Deshaun Watson. Seven, Kyler Murray. Eight, Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Again, when you're doing overrated, it's very important. It's based on what I think people think he's too good. Not saying he's not good. I think people think he's too good. Allen, number one. And one NFC West player on this vote for him said, what'd he say? Why do you say Allen's overrated?
Turnovers.
Too many turnovers. So there's a couple things. There's a couple things that are important here whenever you see this. Like, you can decide how mad you want to get. I am of the belief that, I mean, what percentage of football players are too obsessed with turnovers? Is it 95? Is it 100%?
NFL players? NFL
players,
fans?
Players, coaches. I mean, turnovers are, you spend your life trying not to turn the ball over and trying to get turnovers. And if you're a defensive player that picks off Josh Allen every once in a while, you're like, hey, he's going to give us the ball. He's going to make a mistake. That's right. He's going to throw for 360 and four touchdowns and, you know, win the game. So when turnovers are a factor, Allen's going to get heat for that. And that's not going to change. I don't think that's going to change. It's just going to be what it is. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it's always turnover. It's just it's a war on turnovers.
Yes.
Because there was another thing yesterday. Maybe there's a bunch of these going around. ESPN's got them. Mike Sando, did you see this from The Athletic? He did quarterback tiers, but it wasn't just his quarterback tiers. It was, I'm trying to see how many people he had vote, but it was kind of like Jeremy Fowler's thing from a couple months ago. Like, it was executives and it was whatever. And people that work in the league, coaches. There were coaches that were voting on it too. And Allen did all these. He finished pretty high. He was tier one. There were three tier one. It was Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow. Tier one with Mahomes, by the way, which is like a big a compliment as you can get. And what was one of the quotes in the write-up? It was a AFC coach that wrote about Allen that he can't stop turning the ball over. And that's why that person voted him in tier two. So it's just the turnovers.
That's it.
It's just turnovers. If you can get over the turnovers, he's like the best quarterback in the league right there with Mahomes. And if you are obsessed with turnovers, then you probably think he's overrated.
Yep.
Isn't that simple?
That's pretty much the game. One thing about Allen, though, and what he has an opportunity to prove this year, because think about this. Here he is being ranked as one of the best and also as overrated. True or false? Let's play a little game here. True or false? If he has his normal year this year of, what's his normal year? 4,000 yards?
Yep.
Should I have that number off
the top? Yeah, like 4,200, right?
He has his last year he had 4,300 yards.
Okay.
He has gone to 45, 44, then 42, then 43. So, okay, not a career high. Let's say he has 4,300 yards, 30 touchdowns, rushes for 10. Like, he has a Josh Allen year. Not his best year, but a Josh Allen year. Won't he get more credit for that this year than maybe any other? Because I think around the league, there's a belief that the Bills are not as threatening as they have been in the years past. We'll find out if somebody does step up. But if Allen is able to lift his supporting cast to a certain point, you know, all due respect to Shakir and Kincaid, if he has a monster year, it almost feels like you'll start to get some that say he's underrated. Because, again, overrated, underrated is just what people think. And if he gets this reputation as the most overrated quarterback, then he plays well. People are going to remember that and say, actually, maybe he's underrated. Anyway.
Well, there's another element of the overrated that do people hear he's Mahomes?
Yes.
Because, and that's where the overrated, another element of where the overrated idea comes from. And if that's where some people think he is, then those people will never think he's underrated. Because they'll think he's rated as highly as possible, which is he's at the top. He's the best that there is, or he's tied with the best that there is. And if you're there, then you can't, like,
no, there's nowhere to go.
Mahomes, it would be like saying Mahomes is underrated.
And to this point about, like, these NFL players ranking the quarterbacks, I don't see, they didn't list them all, so maybe he got one vote. Feels like it would have been a story if a player voted Mahomes overrated.
That would have been funny.
But nobody did according to this piece. No. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550.
I'm almost like wanting to see him. And I'm not wanting him to turn the ball over, but win anyway. You know what I mean? Like last year, he leads the league in picks. Does he even lead the league in picks? Or he was close to it, 18. Maybe it was turnovers, whatever. And they just win the division anyway. It's just everyone, I kind of want him to just bury it in their faces of, oh, you think turnovers are really that important? Here, I'm going to throw 20 picks this year, and I'm still going to have this team in first place. I'm still going to win the division. I'm still going to win in the playoffs now, too. Like, I don't want to say I want him to turn the ball over, but the one thing that I can already see being an annoying talking point or narrative is if Allen throws 10 picks this year instead of 18, and the Bills win the division again. And, oh, guys, you know why they did it? Oh, he limited those turnovers.
Right.
And if that is given as the reason why anything goes well this year, it's going to drive me crazy. And some people will do it.
Maybe it's a smarter style, different brand of football that they're going to play.
The Bills might believe it. The Bills,
that's right.
I mean, when they change coordinators, they built their offense like they thought it was killing them. They changed their offense like Allen turning the ball over was killing them. And I guess it wasn't helping. They probably lost the Jet game because of it. But I don't know. They couldn't stop anybody in the middle of the season, right? The same time?
Yep. I mean, they lost the Bronco game. There were two turnovers there that weren't his. One's off of Davis's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I was thinking about Gabe Davis the other day. The last couple seasons, Gabe Davis has been a constant, whatever, a figure in fantasy football.
Yep.
Where should he go? He's Josh Allen's number two receiver. You know, he had the big playoff game against the Chiefs, and then it was, what can you get out of Gabe Davis? And 2 years later, he has signed with the Jaguars. And have you heard a word about Gabe Davis at all?
No.
You don't. You hear nothing about him. They gave him $13 million.
Yeah.
And we'll see where he shakes out in their offense. But seeing a lot of Brian Thomas Jr. highlights, and they still have Christian Kirk and Evan Engram and Travis Etienne, and
he might be like the fifth pass catching option in that offense.
Yeah, I think so. And he's making $13 million.
Yeah,
it's
a big amount of money.
It is. I mean, you might say that the fifth best passing option in this offense makes a good chunk of money. Is that Dawson Knox? Is he fifth? So whatever.
Yeah, kind
of.
Yep.
But it struck me the other day as I was in a fantasy draft and I'm so far down into deep, deep rounds of this draft, and there's Gabe Davis's name. Like, oh yeah.
Yeah, he's still available right at the end.
Why he signed and then just not a lot of attention.
Yeah. In fantasy, to your point, right now, he's going as the 60th wide receiver. His average draft position is the 60th wide receiver.
Where was he the last couple of years when he was with the Bills?
Like in the early 30s?
Yeah.
I think 2 years ago, after his giant game against Kansas City, and then the Bills don't bring back Emmanuel Sanders, and he's like a full-time starter, I think he was going in the 20s. Maybe even in the high 20s, or low 20s, I should say. And yeah, now he's not even on the radar. He's going behind Brandon Cooks. And, well, three Bills receivers. There are three Bills receivers going above him. And two Jaguar receivers. Which, again, might feel appropriate. Because if he's the number five option in a Trevor Lawrence offense, like, I don't know. How good is that supposed to be?
Yeah.
What's my upside? Is he going to have 1,000 yards this year?
It'd be shocking, wouldn't
and
it?
And the guy that's getting hype, Brian Thomas. Oh, who said something glowing about him the other day? About he's got that twitch that reminds you of Chase and Lamb. They're like, oh, this guy, like, this is not just burner. Someone, one of the coaches maybe in one of the joint practices on the other side was talking up Thomas that, like, this guy's not just going to be a downfield threat. Like, if he can figure out route running, like, he's got athleticism that he can do everything.
Yeah, there's a eye of the beholder kind of thing where I was reading something similar about Brian Thomas in Jacksonville where one of the knocks on him coming out was, well, he got all of his production in two routes in college. Yeah.
Right.
It's like, well, okay, well, did they ask him to run any more than those two, or did they just constantly produce in those two routes? So it's like, oh, if you put him somewhere else where you ask him to do more, he has that ability. He was just not really asked to do it that often. So we'll see. If there's one thing we could have had out of this preseason, again, the preseason pledge, I know.
How'd we do with it this year? I think we did pretty well. Right? We did fine.
Sure, but only because there was nothing really to get too overly
excited about.
What is it? It's kicker and backup quarterback that we're getting worked up about?
All right.
What else could there be to be worked up about? I mean, Joe Andreessen went in and flashed and had one of the best preseason games you'll ever see.
That's true. Yeah.
So what would you get worked up about that would scare you in the preseason? My only answer for you is receiver. And as we've laid out, like that's
hard
in large part because of the quarterbacks they played with. If there's one thing you would like to have added into the preseason to make people just feel better. Again, this doesn't mean things will be better or worse, but if Coleman had done something,
mm-hmm.
Coleman had about as quiet a preseason as is possible.
Yep.
For a team that threw him the ball a reasonable amount.
I mean, they threw it to him three times in the end zone.
Yeah.
I don't. Maybe he had five targets, six targets. Like, it wasn't a crazy, crazy number, but he was on the field a lot.
I think he finished the preseason with 12 targets.
Was it 12 targets? Really? I'll pull that up.
Maybe it was 12 routes. You look at it that way. Like he ran 12 routes.
Yeah.
You'd like to get more.
Here we go. Targets in the Bills preseason. Coleman had six.
Okay. Six targets on 12 routes.
Two catches for 20 yards on six targets.
And the two catches were the same catch.
Yeah. Nobody had more than seven targets in the whole preseason.
Yep.
Shavers had seven. That was the most.
So the Bills, they didn't really show you their passing offense outside of, Shakir made a couple of nice plays.
Yeah, nobody had. Do you know who led them in receiving in the preseason? With five catches for 50 yards. Do you know who led them in the preseason?
Ray Davis.
Zach Davidson.
Okay.
And then you know who was second? Shakir. Who we saw for like
a half.
Was it even that? Well, yeah, it would have been a half in the first game. Shakir was second. And nobody else, Yeah, I guess it's a good point. I mean, the guy that I guess had the best game that wasn't Andreessen was Frank Gore Jr., right, on Saturday. But that's the position we're in practice with the most. Because every year there's a running back. Every year there's a running back. Linebacker, that was new, right? Yep, I don't think I've had to settle myself down about a linebacker that popped in the preseason, especially one that local and has got the athletic stuff, so.
Fantasy stuff. We got to start doing a little bit more fantasy football, Joe. It's drafting season.
I drafted, so I had my big draft on Saturday. It's our 15th season. Which, I mean, for us, you mentioned you knew your college friends for 27 years. So for us, 15 years is like more than half our lives by a lot. I drafted James Cook for, I think, the first time in a league ever. Not that I've been, like, avoiding James Cook, but there he was. He was just sitting there, easily the best running back available. And the one, you know why I think I haven't been doing that? Is because I've been drafting Kincaid all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't want multiple players that high on the same offense. So I decided right then and there, like, all right, I'm not going to pick Kincaid next round because I'm going to pick James Cook here. Like, let me get a piece here because I almost want to say bell cow. He's a number one running back that is pretty clear cut. It's not really that big a timeshare compared to what you have around the league.
Well, is a bell cow now a guy that will run and catch? And that's really it.
He's kind of a bell cow now.
Right.
Then,
that's what
he?
I mean. Like the old bell cow would be like 23 carries, and now bell cow is on the field
15 carries and four catches.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much James Cook. The only thing I don't get is touchdowns. And
you should have had a couple more last year. He just flat out dropped some.
Right. He had four receiving and two rushing. He probably should have. He should have had seven receiving. So what do I get from touchdowns? I think I'm hoping I'm getting like six or seven at a minimum.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think his rushing touchdowns are going to go much higher than two. It's probably going to be Allen again. But
well, news on the running back market in fantasy.
Yeah.
Carolina leaves Jonathan Brooks on the PUP list.
Yeah.
So he is ineligible to be active for the first four games of the season.
Yep. Nick Chubb and Cleveland, same thing.
Tell me Chubb can come back. Chubb is a Hall of Fame running back.
Every number or metric you look up about running backs all time, he is number one.
He's one of the best running backs.
Except maybe yards per carry. Yeah. But anything more advanced than that, he's the best running
back
ever.
He's one of the best running backs ever.
Yeah.
Can he come back?
I don't know. He's kind of old for it, isn't he?
He is.
He's 28.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
He's 28 and he's had major injury before. Although, to be fair, he's come back from major injury before. I don't know, man. Like, that's... Have you seen what's been happening with Cam Akers, by the way, in the last week? Cam Akers, who was kind of done, right? He had the Achilles injury, which is usually a death sentence for running back. Did you see that he is, like, now looking awesome in the preseason? Maybe he's someone we should take the preseason pledge with. There's a theory out there about Cam Akers that's really funny that might also be true, that he looked shot for the last 2 years after he tore his Achilles. Then he tore his other Achilles. And in this preseason, he's doing spin moves and he's running past people he's jumping over people. So everyone's like, wait a minute. Is he trusting both legs equally now?
That's funny.
Because he tore both Achilles? Like, that's a real theory that's out there right now.
That's funny.
He looks good, and he tore his other Achilles.
There's no choice.
I think it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? You favor one leg over the other when you've torn one Achilles. Now he's torn both, so he's got no choice. Like, they're equal again, I guess.
YOLO.
YOLO, let me just go for it. Chubb only. I'm bringing that up because I think Chubb did tear the other knee. So I'm wondering if maybe he thinks both knees are relatively equal now. I don't know.
I like
is this. Is this let's get stupid? Or does it make sense?
I like this theory
about Akers. Let's get stupid?
Let's get stupid is next time a guy blows out his Achilles, they just say, let's just blow out the other one right now and heal them both, and there won't be any trust issues.
Oh, man. That's let's get stupid.
That's let's get stupid.
Let's get stupid.
Listen, the only way to do this, we're going to have to rupture your other one.
Oh, my. Yeah.
What are you going to do? You're rehabbing? Just, you know, do two at once.
Right. Hey, we're just going to tear the other one in half. Is that all right? Don't even think about it.
It's like when they have to a bone like partially breaks and they have to complete the break.
Yeah,
this is
okay.
It's just
we're just gonna treat the Achilles as one unit.
Yeah,
it's a pair.
It's
but
a pair.
It's one your Achilles factor.
Yeah.
Oh, you've torn half of your Achilles factor. No, anyway.
Like, yep.
All right, maybe we should do the Jordan Matthews game at some point.
Let's do that. Cam Akers could have been on the Jordan Matthews game, by the way.
All right, I'm excited for the Jordan Matthews
game. The Jordan Matthews game.
Jonathan Brooks, speaking of ACLs, he blew out his ACL in November. So
right, that was later.
They'll bring him back slowly. Tyrell Shavers waived.
Wow.
Ryan Talbot.
That one surprises me.
Ryan Talbot said, per source, the Bills are waiving Tyrell Shavers.
Okay.
I'm going to win my bet. MVS is making this team.
But someone else has to, too.
Yeah, but the bet we made was none of my guys get cut.
Yeah.
And none of
them. Well, Claypool got cut.
He got hurt.
That's right. That's fine. I mean, MVS also could go on IR, which, whatever. When I mean someone else has to make the team, like, MVS is going to make the team.
Like, Demir Bird going to make the team?
No, he already got cut.
Oh, sorry. I mean,
KJ Hamler?
No.
KJ Hamler lined up and he had a rushing touchdown on Saturday. He was playing running back when Frank Gore Jr. went out. Is he
backup Curtis Samuel?
Is he backup Curtis Samuel and backup Khalil Shakir in the slot and backup returner? Or are they adding a receiver?
I know what you're thinking. Ayuk.
Chase, actually, is what I was thinking
Jamar Chase.
Just saying, if they're keeping six and Shavers is getting cut, MVS is on the team, and then somebody else, whether it's a Hamler or it's a player that's on another roster, I think is getting added.
Shavers waived.
Yeah. Who else could it be other than Hamler? They're not Deion Kane? Like, are they doing that? Very interesting. I would not have thought Shavers was getting cut today. Bills plan to add him to their practice squad, according to Ryan Talbot.
Will he clear waivers? I would imagine he will.
He probably will.
Doesn't every team have a guy like this that they think
yeah.
they can just get through to their practice squad?
I would think he probably does, yeah.
803-0550, down to 53 today. Hang out with us. Give us a call. The Jordan Matthews game, whatever that is coming up.
Is water wet? Is the sky blue? Does Dan Orlovsky love unseasoned food? I don't mean to be pat, but this is one of the easiest decisions that Dallas has ever had to make because it was very obvious that this deal would get done, and for a good reason. CeeDee Lamb was one of the best receivers in the NFL last year. He has been for a few years, but last year he was exceptional, leading the league in targets, catches, yards after the catch. He has this rare blend of winning at all three levels, but catching everything thrown his way. He's unbelievable with the ball in his hands.
Mina Kimes on the Cowboys signing CeeDee Lamb. Jerry Jones had interesting comments about guys playing in the final year of a contract or just anyone being in the last year of a contract. Talked about it, I think, as an answer to a Mike McCarthy question about he believes that people with angst and with pressure are pressed to perform and bring their best. Okay. It costs him more money in the long run. Cost him more with CeeDee Lamb, waiting on an extension. Going to cost more with Micah Parsons. Going to cost more with Dak Prescott. But CeeDee Lamb re-signs with the Cowboys. Not a surprise. Was always going to go that way. I don't know if anybody out there faded him in a fantasy draft because he hadn't gotten an extension yet. He's awesome and totally worth it. 803-0550. Okay, so kick up some speculation on receiver if you want because Tyrell Shavers has been waived.
And if you want, Matt Bovee, we saw tweeting about like, hey, maybe this opens up a spot for them to add another one.
Make a trade.
Guess the Giants just waived.
Isaiah Hodgins. I got to go outside.
Reunion? An Isaiah Hodgins reunion, perhaps? What's that bad? It's that bad?
I mean, it's just deck chairs on the Titanic. Is what it is. Not that the Bills are the Titanic, but come on.
That's what it sounded like.
I'll just say this. Maybe I haven't said this enough, this strongly enough. I think the Bills are Brandon Ayuk away from being the team they've been the last 4 years and just as good, if not better. And without that guy, they're not that team.
That's it? One guy?
Yep. I think they're one player away from me feeling 10 times better about what they want to be. It's important to mention here, I don't believe for a second that they don't want an elite player at that position. I think that they don't have one. And they hope that one of these guys they have grows into one, or they'll pursue one in the future. I don't believe for a second. Now, maybe it's because I won't allow myself to believe it.
But this idea that, no, they don't want to pay a number one receiver. Sure they do. They just...
They don't have the ability.
They don't have
to
the cap space.
They don't have
right
the
now.
Ability to get one. Right
and
now.
Ayuk would be difficult because they'd have to like rework stuff and make space and make a trip. And I don't think it's going to happen. But I think they're that player away from being awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that guy's not walking through the door right now.
No, he's not walking through the door. And maybe they'll get that guy next year. Or maybe Keon Coleman develops into something incredible, and you know we're good to go. 803-0550.
One can hope.
Could it be Tim Patrick? To replace Shavers? Is KJ Hamler the guy? I joked with Joe in the break, but I'm not kidding. Did Shavers get cut to make room on the roster for Zach Davidson so they could have four tight ends? I'm not kidding. If they want to be if they want to be a 12 personnel team more, you can't be a team that bails on it when one guy gets hurt, which Dawson Knox, he picks up injuries here and there. And when Dawson Knox got hurt, they didn't go 12.
But they had another tight end. They had
Quentin
Morris, and they still didn't put him on the field.
You want to go,
and they have Gilliam who can play tight end also, and like it's not so they would have had another one in an emergency if something happened to Morris, and they still they I don't know, aren't they? Don't they want to be a 12 personnel team more so because they think they have two good tight ends more than they want to force it? Won't they put their best 11 on the field if one of their tight ends gets injured?
But the problem with their best 11 on the field, they ran into it last year, which is I guess the. This is where you take away a good receiver because you want another tight end in the field. Last year, 12 meant Shakir couldn't be on the field.
Right.
And that wasn't their best 11. Shakir getting back on the field was a big part of their resurgence.
Yeah. No, they were...
Last year, they were a team that went to 12 and took a good player off the field. And I guess you could make a case that this year, again, if you go to 12 more often, you're not taking... you still might be taking Shakir off the field or Mac Hollins off the field. Or Coleman off the field?
I don't know. Is Mac Hollins one of their two receivers out there when they're in 12 personnel?
Probably.
They're gonna, and what that's gonna do to you as an offense, and maybe they want to be this. They want, because what you will be is a better running team if you do that, right? If Mac Hollins is out there a receiver, and imagine it's Hollins and Coleman on the outside, and then you have Kincaid and Knox as your two tight ends. I mean, you're big and you're physical, right? So you might think, I could block anybody with those four guys out there on the field. But what you also are going to be is slow. You're a slow, slow offense if you're playing with that package.
And if you're playing with that package of a slow offense, your coordinator's got work to do. They want explosive plays, right?
Yeah. I know, man. Like we walked into the offseason, and that was the message. And just, here we are. Are they going to keep four? Maybe not. I don't know if they're going to keep three tight ends, or if they're going to put Zach Davidson out there in the field, or if Hamler is going to make the team. Hamler's explosive plays in theory, right? If he plays even five snaps.
Yep.
Isn't he your gadget guy? If all your Curtis Samuel gadget plays, who's doing those? We've been asking that question since he got injured. Isn't KJ Hamler the guy that on paper fits that the most? I'm not saying he's a great player, but he might just be the guy that makes the team. He played running back on Saturday, which is what we thought Samuel was going to do. So maybe that's the simple answer here.
Zoe in Buffalo. Hey, Zoe, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me. No, you make a lot of sense. You know, I do agree. Hamler might need an extra person. I thought Shaver was going to be the guy, tall, like we talked about, blocking. They're going to run better with these type of receivers, but they need another speedster, dynamic type of player, playmaker. And it might be Hamler. Because of the same situation, running the ball. But when I was watching the preseason, I was kind of looking at that Deion Kane kid because even though he probably only had three catches, he just showed something different that them other receivers did not have. And I don't know what the number 14 he had on with the dreads hanging out, but then like Sammy Watkins catching screen passes, but he was going forward. You know, he had a quick little first step in running up the field, you know, and all the other receivers, Hamler, Shakir, they all good, quick player, but they didn't have that type of style. And that style was a little bit similar to Ayuk, if they're looking for that. So, I don't know, what do you think about that?
About Hamler for that?
Deion Kane.
Okay, I'm sorry, Deion Kane, right. The thing about Deion Kane, thanks, though. Yeah, you're on Deion Kane as an idea to make it over a guy like Hamler.
Yeah.
It would be kind of funny for a guy to come in so late and impress so quickly.
Yeah.
There's there's different ways to look at everything. That would tell you that as they worked out Corey Davis, they went most of camp and came out of it like, we did not do enough. And they went out and tried out Corey Davis, and they brought Deion Kane. If Deion Kane just makes the team in a week and a half,
yeah,
it's probably been on the team for a little bit more than a week and a half. But
August 13th.
Okay, so
it's been
2 weeks.
Exactly 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Shows up after training camp, makes the team. How do I not get to, you went to camp and you knew you weren't good enough? And a guy came in 2 weeks.
Unless they thought Claypool was going to give them something, right? Or, I don't know, did anyone else get injured that I'm thinking of here?
Yeah. We'll see how it all works out.
It couldn't all be on Claypool, though. It can't, like, I say that, but I also want to not make it sound like I think all of it was, well, Claypool got injured. Claypool was a lottery ticket. Right? I wasn't sure he was going to make the team. I bet against you that he would make the team. Kane, by the way, like, he's a veteran player, though. I guess that helps his case maybe a little bit here. He, like, you look at his stats and you might go, wait a minute, this guy hasn't really played in the NFL in 5 years. He hasn't, but he was one of these, you know. Remember when the Bills signed Duke Williams? What was the story about Duke Williams? It was college, but then it was, this guy was the best receiver in the CFL. That was Duke Williams, right? He went to another league, and he dominated there. And that is Deion Kane. Deion Kane was like the USFL MVP and then played in the XFL and was really good. Like, he's one of these guys that has been dominant in the spring leagues. So he hasn't been not playing football for 5 years. He just hasn't been playing in the NFL.
Get a break in 803-0550. Zach and Jim, stick with us. We'll get right to your calls on the other side. If I don't get to a break, then Josh is going to punch me in the face through the glass.
The Bills are releasing Kareem Jackson.
Okay.
Not a
safety,
big surprise.
Kareem
there.
Jackson. That's a good sign for maybe the health of some of their safeties and how they're feeling overall the position.
Yep.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Suddenly a receiver question to answer. What happens with Shavers, who many thought would make the team? He's not going to make it. Who gets that spot? Jeremy and Joe on WGR. NFL news dropping every few minutes about rosters. Also today coming, the owner's going to vote on whether or not to accept private equity ownerships, which
they've already laid out like what it would look like.
10%. Initially, yeah. 10% of teams could be sold to private equity. Now, key point here that I would like to make, the Bills, the report is they would want to sell a portion of their team.
Mm-hmm.
10% could go to private equity. They could sell it to just a person.
Right, they could. They could.
The Pegulas could just sell 25% of the team to just a person, not a private equity firm. That's what's different here. So as the Bills look to sell a portion of the franchise, it's just a check from somebody who has it. And there's a point also about, I was reading about this, like why an owner might want to diversify some of what a team is worth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because as these values go way up, 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 you actually limit the number of people that can buy it.
Right.
Because
there's only so many people in the world that can hand you a check for $9 billion. Yeah.
So instead, if you're the controlling owner, you will have sold pieces along the way, and then, you know, yeah, someone only has to buy 51%.
Right.
And on we go. 803-0550. Jim in Buffalo is next up. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Hey, I kind of want to bring it back to the receiver thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're, not just the Bills, but the league. I think the receiver thing ran its course. These guys are getting $30 million a year. They can get that production off the running back and off the tight end at a cheaper price. I think the receiver thing is way overlooked. We don't need to look for a number one receiver. Nobody has won a Super Bowl with their number one receiver since, what, Tampa? Everybody else has had a...
Three years ago?
Tampa was three? I thought it was four.
And then the Chiefs, of course, with Tyreek Hill won a Super Bowl.
I mean, the Rams won one with Cooper Kupp. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I feel like it happens pretty regularly.
And we also don't only evaluate who's good based on one team. I mean, the teams that go to the Super Bowl count too. And last year, that's Brandon Ayuk. And the previous year, that's A.J. Brown.
But they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Well, winning, I don't know that we really define whether or not a team should win based on the caliber of one player on the 53 that's not the quarterback.
Well, look at the Patriots in 07.
Look at the Patriots in 07. This is the Patriots in 07 when Randy Moss caught 22 touchdowns and they went 17-0?
And they lost.
They lost a game. They lost a game.
It doesn't matter.
Should they have had the best quarterback of all time? I mean, they lost that game.
How many times did they win the Super Bowl without a star wide receiver? Almost every time.
Right. If you want to do it with tight ends, you'll find a lot of them, too. I mean, Gronk and Kelce exist, the two best tight ends of all time.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. All you got to do is find the third best tight end of all time. Now, Jim, I just think there's no evidence. Doesn't mean that it's wrong. It's like if you think running backs are about to come back on receivers, it's predicting that BlackBerry is about to overtake the iPhone. Like, there's Blockbuster's about to put Netflix out of business. Like,
yeah.
What's happening in the NFL, all these receiver salaries and these receiver contracts, what? Not a single team thinks it. Not a single team thinks it. Nobody does. Not even the Bills. The Bills didn't draft a second-round running back. They did a couple years ago. It was a mistake. They drafted a second-round receiver, and they added money at receiver Curtis Samuel. Like, there's no evidence on the running back thing. And on the tight end thing, the two best of all time.
They're the only ones where the blueprint works. Like, really, truly works, right?
Yeah.
You want to build your offense where your number one pass catcher is a tight end and win the Super Bowl?
And both
of
them.
It better be one of the best of all, one of the best two of all time.
And play with the two best quarterbacks of all time.
Right. And by the way, if we want to play the game with, like, did you win the Super Bowl or not? Wait, we're going to do that with running back? Because running back, isn't there... Here's the list of running backs that won the Super Bowl. I guess the list I have isn't updated since 2021. But Cam Akers, Leonard Fournette, Damian Williams, Sony Michel, LeGarrette Blount again, C.J. Anderson, LeGarrette Blount again, Ray Rice, Ahmad Bradshaw, James Starks, Pierre Thomas. Those are your starting. Those are your number one running backs and Super Bowl winners for 10 years, 15 years.
Why do we only do this with receiver? Should we do it with left tackle? Do the Chiefs have the best left tackle in sports? If they don't have the left tackle in the league, best left tackle, then why have the best left tackle?
It's trying to explain away that this is what the Bills want. That they don't want the $30 million receiver, which I don't buy. I think it's their circumstance.
Find me another team that is said they don't want this. No one else does this. The Packers are just young. That's it.
Right. It's, they just haven't had time to break out yet.
They're just young. Only the Bills. I'd love to find another NFL city that even has this debate. Is there one? Does anybody else do this?
Does Kansas City? No. Well, Kansas City won it that way, and they went out.
They would trade it up in the first round to get one.
And signed Brown.
Signed Marquise Brown. And they've drafted second round picks the last 3 years.
Right.
Not even the Chiefs subscribe to this. Right. They just happen to be bad at picking them.
Yep.
I just don't get it. I don't get it why anyone, in the face of absolutely no evidence that this position is peaked. Okay, CeeDee Lamb gets $38 million guaranteed. Tomorrow, Ayuk will get 37, and it'll be another
Ayuk is never going to sign. 5 years later, he's still going to be holding
it. That's true. Thanks, Jim, for the phone call. Do not agree. Glad you called, though. Yeah. All right, we got the Jordan Matthews game.
A lot of hype for this Jordan Matthews game.
Is it going to deliver?
You're gonna learn.
I like it.
Learn guy is still in the league, or you're going to learn where they are.
Very good. Xavier Johnson, Bills wide receiver, waived.
I liked him. I liked the idea of him.
Isaiah Hodgins, by the way. Could the Bills make that move? Sure they could. And by the way, wouldn't they know it's going to happen faster than anybody? Joe Shane calls Brandon Bean like, we're going to waive Hodgins.
Wouldn't he play?
He would play, and there's a point to be made here.
He would play.
There's a point to be made here. You didn't even make the Giants. You're the Giants.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got some Giants on this list, by the way.
Having a good time here. Don't ask me about the receiver train. Sensitive subject. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps.
and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.